GA pilots in Europe face big new user fees. Six have died in the ditching of a de Havilland Beaver in Canada. And the lawyers are now going after the simulator companies. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, December 2, 2009. The International Council of Aircraft Owners and Pilots Associations, which is co-based with AOPA in Maryland, is warning general aviation users of 215 European airports that they could soon face new charges for each approach and landing, and a ground handling fee whether or not any ground services are used. The new charges are said to satiate airports that claim they shoulder most of the burden of air traffic control costs while receiving less than their fair share of revenue from en route charges. IAOPA predicts that the approach charge will be in the 20 to 30 euro range for a small aircraft, with no exemption for non-commercial flights. The charges will be based on aircraft weight under a formula yet to be determined. There's no word yet on whether there will be any adjustment for students, who'd presumably face a pretty steep bill for an hour's practice which included 10 touch-and-goes. Stay tuned. A de Havilland Beaver float plane went down Sunday, apparently just after takeoff from Saturna Island in British Columbia, between the mainland and Vancouver Island. Two people, one of them the pilot, survived. Six others, including an infant, died. The accident is the first in the 28-year history of the operator, Sea Air. Company co-owner Christy Clark told the National Post the pilot had been flying full-time for the company for about 3 years, but offered no further details. Local media report Canadian Coast Guard divers found the plane in about 33 feet of water. Several Saturna Island residents say they rushed to the scene in their boats and rescued the two survivors, but that the aircraft sank quickly. Transport Canada will investigate. Ever since the crash of Colgan Air 3407 in Buffalo last February, it's been raining lawsuits. But now there are suits filed on behalf of victims' families targeting Flight Safety International, a respected company that provides sim training for regional airline crews. The suits allege that Captain Renslow and First Officer Shaw were trained in flight simulators under contract with Colgan Air, but that neither pilot received training to use the stick pusher in Colgan aircraft. The Buffalo News reports that an NTSB reconstruction of the accident shows that Renslow pulled back on the controls of the aircraft when the stick pusher was activated, causing the aircraft to stall and enter a spin from which he was unable to recover. Flight Safety did not have an immediate response to the lawsuit. The FAA has issued new rules effective January 10th, prohibiting takeoffs with polished frost, that's frost buffed to make it smooth, on the wings, stabilizers, and control surfaces of several aircraft. The new rules affect only 188 total aircraft in service with 57 operators. The FAA already prohibits major and regional air carriers from operating with polished frost. Previous FAA guidance recommended removing all wing frost prior to takeoff, but allowed it to be polished smooth if the aircraft manufacturer's recommended procedures were followed. But the manufacturers never published standards. So, starting the 10th of January, the FAA advises dealing with frost by using wing covers or a heated hangar to prevent it, de-icing to remove it, or waiting for the solar method. The new rules also clarify that affected aircraft must have functioning de-icing or anti-icing equipment for IFR flights into known or forecast light or moderate icing conditions, or VFR into known light or moderate icing. Up next on ANN, a news crew is threatened with local charges for covering a crime scene near Seattle. Piper makes the G1000 an option throughout the PA-46 line. And Airbus says the A400M may fly next week. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. The pilot of a Seattle TV station helicopter and the station's news director may be charged with interfering with a police investigation of Sunday's fatal shooting of four police officers at a coffee shop in Lakewood, Washington. The four officers were gunned down before starting their shifts. During the investigation, Pierce County Sheriff's Office investigators say the King TV helicopter interfered with their investigation. Local media has been unable to get an answer to questions about just how the coverage interfered with the investigation. KXTL-TV in Sacramento, California reports that Ed Troyer, a spokesman for the Pierce County Sheriff's Department, threatened to ban all media from the area if the King TV helicopter crew continued providing coverage. King News Director Mark Ginther says the pilot honored every request that the chopper be moved and had complied with all FAA regulations in covering the story. Troyer says the Pierce County prosecutor will nevertheless pursue charges against the pilot and the station's news director. Piper Aircraft announced Monday that it has certified the Garmin G1000 glass panel with GFC 700 autopilot for the Mirage and Matrix and will offer the system as a factory option. That makes the G1000 available in all of Piper's top-line PA-46 models. Garmin VP of Marketing Gary Kelly predicts pilots of the Meridian, Mirage, and Matrix, quote, will be amazed at its rich feature set and high level of performance in handling the aircraft, unquote. Garmin's synthetic vision technology will be standard on all PA-46 aircraft equipped with the G1000 option. All three models will continue to offer the Avidyne Integra panel as standard equipment. It's 4 years behind schedule, but Airbus says next week should see the first flight of the A400M military transport, weather permitting. The big four-engine turboprop has been undergoing taxi tests at the company's facility in Seville, Spain. Defense News reports the company is operating under an ultimatum from French and German governments to prove by year-end that the program is viable. Delays have cost millions and forced Airbus to renegotiate contracts with several customers. South Africa has dropped its order entirely, and Britain has talked openly of shopping with U.S. manufacturers. Seven European countries have ordered a total of 180 planes. Executive Beechcraft, which operates the largest terminal at Kansas City's Wheeler Airport on land leased from the city, is now suing the city and James Stowers III, who is developing a competing terminal and aviation facility at the airport. The Kansas City Star reports BBA USA Holdings, which purchased Executive Beechcraft in 2007, claims it would have paid less for the company had it known about the coming competition at Wheeler. BBA maintains in the suit that the city said it would be the only executive terminal at Wheeler when it purchased Executive. City Attorney Galen Buford said the city disagrees with that contention and will vigorously defend the city's position in court. The suit seeks unspecified damages. Still ahead, Louis Armstrong International Airport may get a major overhaul. This would be a great time to be buying a used 747. And so far, they're not calling it the Miracle on the Atlantic. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, December 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. The city of New Orleans plans to launch a $755 million modernization plan for Louis Armstrong International Airport, even while it continues to consider a private manager for the facility. The board cites a steady increase in visitors post-Katrina and the 2013 Super Bowl among the reasons for proceeding with the plan. The New Orleans Times-Picayune reports that the plan was ready to go 4 years ago but was delayed by Hurricane Katrina and the shifted financial priorities which followed the storm. The FAA will make grants for safety improvements but requires that aesthetic work be funded without federal money. Most of the work will be financed through passenger facilities charges, fees paid by passengers departing the airport. A report by Seven Seas Aviation, a Los Angeles-based aviation consultant, says as many as 10% of the world's fleet of Boeing 747-400s are now in storage due to the impact of the recession on both passenger and cargo markets. That accounts for about 63 airplanes as of November 1st, according to the latest data available from the company. Seven Seas says on its blog that the cargo market is seeing a modest recovery and those aircraft are expected to trickle back into service, but the passenger planes that are currently grounded are likely to stay on the ground for the foreseeable future or be converted to freighters. Only one aircraft, a plane belonging to Air New Zealand, has been officially retired, but 7C says that number is likely to grow. And finally today, the pilot of a Cessna 150 that departed Pompano Beach in South Florida Sunday morning was forced to ditch in the Atlantic Ocean about a mile and a half offshore, but was rescued by a law enforcement vessel whose crew saw the aircraft go down. The unidentified pilot said he experienced mechanical problems. It's always sad to have to ditch a plane, but at least if you walk away or swim away, it makes for good storytelling afterward. Or it would in any other year. I'm afraid in 2009, Sully and Skiles have raised that particular bar ridiculously high. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org explains why last week's fines against three airlines for a notorious tarmac stranding in Rochester, Minnesota, is not the good news for consumers that it first appeared. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.